Hey Todd.
Morning, Olamide.
Hope it's not going to be just the two of us. Maybe there is people on Easter break.
Maybe. Or maybe they thought that April 1st was just a joke.
That too. Well, if we don't get enough people, we'll probably have to cancel. I know there are some security issues ongoing, with all the, what do you call it? Supply chain, blah, blah, blah.
Supply chain interruptions or
There are some public packages that have some vulnerabilities in them. Yeah, so depending on, you probably have to check your stuff to know what's going on there.
Okay, well, I'll go back to the normal convention of video off.
Good morning.
Morning.
Alameda, I wasn't sure if you wanted to continue since you did the last one on this or if you wanted me to go ahead today.
Yeah, I'll continue.
Okay. I'll disclose that we had a giant thunderstorm here yesterday and I fell in a giant like mud sinkhole this morning and hit my head. So I'm like not 100%. So I'm glad you're doing okay.
To hear that.
Thanks.
Is that hit the head to the point of to where like you go have someone take a look at it.
I don't think so. Like my forehead is all puffed up, but it doesn't feel, it feels like it was all external. Like I hit my knees first and then hit my head. So I don't think I have a concussion, but it was definitely very upsetting.
Well, I'm glad it's not worse than it is.
Thank you.
We're at 4 minutes here, so, and I think there's enough people for us to get started. Thank you for joining. Let me share my screen. Let me know when you can see it.
Yep, we can see.
Okay. Who should be scribed today? Julian. Is Julian on the call? Or was this old?
I did
Oh,
update it this morning,
okay.
so it should be right as far as I could figure.
Okay. Matt could be, would you be able to scribe?
Yeah, no problem.
I appreciate it. So this is where we stopped discussions the last time. Wayne said he missed his turn, so he could do it. Thank you, Wayne. Wayne can scribe, and then Maccabee, you can follow up later, but probably to be Julian before even you. So yeah, I appreciate all the volunteers. Okay. So I mentioned before, in the previous session about this. These questions are meant to spur discussion. There are and we can have other questions or other topics related to the existing module evaluation. Something that Jen brought up was re regarding privacy notices. So we can start there. If Jen, if you can speak, and give us context to that discussion. That would be good. Otherwise, we can continue on with what we have here. What do you think, Jen?
Yeah, I can just tell you what the situation is, and then maybe we can see how it fits in. So basically, a few years ago, we created a disclosure form that is supposed to be in each repo that is just a form that says what personally identifiable information is kept in the module. And a lot of them don't have any. But even if they don't have any, they're still supposed to have a notice saying none, right? They shouldn't just have no notice at all. But obviously, some modules were created before that process started, and before it became like a check mark on the TC review. And so, in the privacy group, we're talking about issues with different modules. And when I went to look at the module we were talking about, which is related to email notifications, there wasn't a PII form in the GitHub repo. So, what could happen is the privacy group could just go through and find all the things, all the modules that are missing the PII form. But it might also be nice to have that backed up by the TC when we do these reviews. These reviews would be are happening a lot slower than the privacy group review might happen. But I guess what I'm wondering is we've kind of tried to not make them do work. But if we find that one of the pieces of work is including the PII form, can we ask them to do that? Is that like an okay thing to do with the process that we've described here? I guess that's my main question is like, if we do come up with modules that don't have the PII form, can that be a thing we try to enforce since it's not development?
Thank you for that context. Any comments or thoughts from anyone? Yes, McAbee.
I kind of think it is development because I think the work is not creating the form. Like if it was just creating the form, that could be copied and pasted. The work is the team confirming that the form would be valid if it said that there's no personal information being there. You know, so that's at the very least a code review, if not actual coding. I don't know how I feel about the larger question. I certainly think it just like any Folio community member should be able to create a PR on any other module. I don't see any problem with the SIG themselves creating that PR, that issue, or that JIRA on the individual module. I'm not sure how I feel about the TC elevating this particular criteria in how we would handle existing module evaluations over other criteria.
Thank you, Todd, Maccabee. Todd?
Yeah, I think speaking broadly to the issue, we are seeing more concern on campus that we know about the sensitive information that we are that we handle and how we process it. And so I think I think our campuses are having an increasing interest in being actively aware of that kind of information. I mean, I'm not, maybe it doesn't go down to the module level, but I mean, we're starting to get questions like, you know, to what extent can your systems remove sensitive information that's no longer needed for business purposes? How can, you know, can they support opt out? And so, you know, that does start getting down to the module level. Yeah, I think there's enough shift in the privacy stance at least at universities that certainly some way of having that privacy review in a like kind of separate or in advance of like the general module reviews. To me, that makes a lot of sense. It seems very timely. How that's implemented, many ways that could happen.
Thank you, Todd. Ingolf?
I was in the old privacy SIG, and I wonder why this has not been already established. I thought this is already established. So how many modules are there who do not have PII form? Can we have a figure? And I
I don't.
understand, but now we are talking about existing modules. It's different, yes. But I think they all had a PII form, and they had to fill it in. So
I
I would.
mean, the one I happen to be looking at did not have one.
Actually, I'm looking at one of the new Eureka models, and it has the form, but there's nothing checked. So, and then that's a problem of our process. We have to at least check it manually, but if not automatically.
Okay, so maybe it's too big a problem to try to fit into this process then. We do have a script that I haven't run. So a big part of the issue here is that the privacy SIG went dormant for at least a couple of years. And so things like the monitor on what repos did and didn't have the PII form hasn't been run in a while. So that's why I don't have a count. But we can run that script and get a count. So maybe the thing to do is
Cool.
to keep advancing it on the SIG side and then come back to the TC later.
Ingolf, did you want to say something?
No, that's a good idea. Do if this
Okay.
works out in the SIG.
Yeah, I think the PII form should be in the existing module evaluation eventually. I consider it an NFR. The privacy SIG having a process to look at that too as well. I think additional checks are good, but overall, I think having the presence of this form as part of the module evaluation is a good fit eventually. A question that keeps coming to mind, even with the existing module evaluation, is like who cares? Who cares about this? If the PII forms have been inaccurate for many years, is there a driver for that? Is there someone or something or an entity or a council that is like, hey, we have, I don't know, legal obligations to do, these things. And I think having that driver or knowing that driver can allow us be more confident with pushing on the teams to make certain changes. I think it was Maccabee that said, ultimately the dev teams have to review the code to confirm the contents of the PII form is accurate. And they would have to ensure that PII doesn't get in or any new things that gets in is recorded. So I do consider it development as well. For the module evaluation process, generally our stance has been, kind of informational and not really pushing it. There's been feedback that if we find a security issue, that seems like a no-brainer to push the teams to get something in place. And I wonder, is privacy on the same level as security, where we feel confident that, oh, if PII is in blah, we should push for that. So I overall, I think what the privacy SIG is doing is good. I think that process should still, go on. Overall, I think the PII requirement should be in the module evaluation eventually. But then, yeah, the what's the driver or who's checking our work, and the answer seems to be no one right now. So yes, Maccabee.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I've been one of the people who made that comment about security issues, and the context was specifically that I think we can trust the judgment of the dev teams because if we pointed out a security issue and something like a code coverage being 79%, they would know what to prioritize, right? Not so much that we ourselves were enforcing the security issue more strongly, but that the
Got it.
dev teams would be doing so. And I think to your point and to Jen's point, if the SIG is sort of doing their work to advocate the need for these policies and the legal basis for that and the sensitivity for that, and the dev teams are aware from that, then if we report that there is a privacy file missing, they would have that same context and prioritize it appropriately.
That's fair. Wayne.
Just to be clear, we're not saying that we would review the contents of the privacy file to make sure that they're accurate, right? We're saying that we would review that the personal information, the PII disclosure form is present.
I would say it's the latter too, as well. But then when you raised it, I was wondering if there's value in knowing there's a PII form, but not knowing if it's accurate, and that something needs to cover that in terms of the accuracy, and that may just be trusting the dev teams to say, okay, you put a form in there, we're gonna hope that you have it, correct. I think that's a good question to raise, Wayne. Jen.
Yeah, so one of the things we're doing in the privacy SIG is kind of uncovering places where we didn't realize data was being saved. And so one of our tasks is to see whether these things we discovered were disclosed in the PII form or not. And if they weren't, I do think there's a question of a knowledge gap there, right? Like our security group has developers on it. Like Craig is on it, Julian is on it. I'm not sure who the, it, we may need to come back and address this knowledge gap because I do think, as Todd was saying, for the universities, this is like getting pretty serious. And yeah, and plus, I mean, if there's less data to steal, you're more secure, so.
Thank you, Todd.
Yeah, and I think that this also is related to European privacy re requirements. I think that might, yeah. It does seem to me like somehow bringing in the POs into the conversation about how to move forward and what's a, well, to get con to raise awareness or get buy-in that yeah there's a real issue, and then some buy-in for addressing it and maybe some ideas about what are practical ways to address the issue. Because I think anything that we do that would be a requirement is going to have to be implemented by the POs anyhow, so may as well do some outreach and get some buy-in, try to help them understand what we're seeing as a pro as an issue, and yeah, have that be something where we have some willing assistance, hopefully.
I agree, Wayne.
So, Todd, what I think You are the process that you're talking about feels like a product council process rather than a like the implementation, right? Like the review to make sure that a module has a coherent PII form and that it's accurate is definitely a development, right? Like that's a technical development task, but the requirement that it exists or that it be an important priority is something that needs that direction doesn't come from the technical council. That direction surely comes from the product council, doesn't it?
I can see that. Maybe I could ask Jen, would you be available to come to an upcoming product council meeting? And I mean, if we take that position, then it becomes a kind of a coordinated effort between product council and technical council. You know, product council like establishing the need, and technical council organizing the implementation.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I would, from my perspective, I would like to see this get elevated in the same way security is. And yeah, maybe those two groups together could do that.
Did someone want to say something? Okay. Oh, go ahead.
I will mention this in the product council planning and see if we can get time for Jen and I to bring this up in one of the upcoming meetings.
After you had went, Todd, Wayne then kind of echoed what I was thinking as well. Going back to the driver of these conversations, what I imagine is that PO, the product council or POs have an itch where they need to know that, PII is covered, whether and disclosing what we are doing or not doing, and that the technical council is able to kind of describe the how. If privacy is a concern, just for Jen, and Jen is the one, going to different meetings and screaming everywhere, I don't think that would be productive, and it's something that should be elevated where, it's a constant question basically. So I would think that the product council cares about security. They might not be able to, implement anything, but yes, Jen, you can scream loud. Yes, so the product council would be like, yeah, we care about security, and what can we do to make that happen? And I think we should have that discussion where, yes, we care about privacy. How do we make that happen? So it, because this is not a purely technical push in any way. And if the product council is like, hey, okay, who, where does the driver comes from? Maybe that comes from the community council or some legal frameworks that we need to adhere to and just consider that. But like you said, any change or any of these things, the POs have to be involved. So any other thoughts before I recap a little bit what we are saying here? So does anyone feel strongly that the Let's just say the presence of a PII form should be in the existing module evaluation eventually. Not to say that that's something that needs to be imminent, but that is a good place for that to live, irrespective of what the privacy SIG is doing. Okay. So a second part of this is thank you for the thumbs up. A second part of this is we need to elevate this discussion, which is let's just say for privacy specifically, and try to get a driver for that. And I could attend those product council meetings too, as well, so that we know what we are shooting for. We can shoot for many things in the products, but we need to know why we are doing that. Security seems kind of like a no-brainer because of its the implications of what that is. But the other items that we have in our criteria, we need to know why we're doing those things and not have them fall off in the future. Okay. Jen, do you think the privacy stuff has been discussed sufficiently, or there are some other aspects we should talk about?
Yeah, this was great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Great. So this highlights the need for a process for modules that have advanced into Folio, because we can have lots of rules, documented in Confluence, blah blah blah. But if we are not checking, if someone is not checking, then these things would definitely drift, as we've seen, time and time again. Okay. We are halfway through the meeting. So we stopped here. So the next question: how many modules per year should be evaluated, and what load does this place on the TC reviewers and teams? I'm not sure. Not everyone has gone through the module evaluation, when new modules come in. The criteria for the existing module evaluation is similar. So I would say it's about the same work, or maybe even more, since those code bases have grown over time. When the teams want to submit a new module, it's fresh in their mind. They're aware of the work, and if a reviewer poses questions, they know what's going on, versus an existing module that may not be actively developed, or that has been in good working order for a decent amount of time. So in a way, I guess we could say the existing module evaluation could probably be more work for all the folks involved than a new module evaluation. So this question is saying, what would we target based on our sense of what the work is involved. I would like to hear some thoughts on this. And remember, we have over 150 modules. So if we do one module per year, then the Folio project will probably not exist any longer by the time we get to that list. Maccabee.
Yeah, I'll just throw out the starting point that I shared a couple months ago. I would throw out one per TC member per year. So that would be, I guess, 11 each.
Okay. Thank you for drawing a line in the sand. What do you guys think about that? Jen?
I guess I'd think more about months in the year than TC members, maybe. I guess I wonder about like 10 instead, so that there's I mean, I guess two TC members could do it, but it seems like you'd want to be able to take off like December and maybe a month in the summer for WolfCon and elections and stuff. 11 feels ambitious to me, I guess. Let's say that. And maybe not everybody is good at it. So maybe it should be like three quarters of the number of TC members or something, so eight, something like that.
Thank you, Jen. Anyone else? Wayne.
I just wanted to point out that, some TC members who might be less comfortable doing module evaluations are contributing in other ways to the TC. So, while the sort of rule of thumb of one per member may make some sense, maybe it makes sense for someone to do two and someone else to be the liaison to the product council, which adds a meeting a week plus, right? You know what I mean? We ask people to contribute in lots of different ways.
Thank you for that perspective. Todd, did you raise your hand before?
No,
Okay.
I don't think so.
Oh, I think it was engulfed there. Yes.
I think we had 3 weeks for an evaluation, I remember. So if we have an evaluation every 3 weeks, that would be my idea. So that's more, and we usually evaluated two modules at one time, usually a back-end module and a front-end module. So 52 divided by three, that's, I don't know, 17, 20 modules.
Thank you for that perspective. Anyone else? I think that it would be unrealistic for us to have a module evaluation always ongoing, kind of like back to back. So while I would like 10 or 11, I think in practice we wouldn't be able to get that far. And I think just having that number to like five would be a good starting point. There's some automation that we can improve to, make the evaluation process easier, but of course there's still work involved. And I think as we get some muscle memory, put in some automation, that the number of existing modules that we could review in a year can increase over time. So not everyone in the technical council is I guess technical enough to review some of these things. And as Wayne mentioned, there are other contributions besides technical knowledge that this council can need. So I think 10, 11, and then if you divide it by two or divide it by three, I think that's something we should work towards, and we can increase that as time goes on. That's my perspective. So I think someone say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. We also have to do the new module evaluations in addition to this, right? So, maybe it should be divided by two anyway. Yeah, so 5 to 10 is a good figure. I agree.
Yeah, and of course, if anyone is feeling ambitious in any year and you're like, oh, I just reviewed my inventory and I think inventory storage, getting reviewed on top of that, would be good. That would always be appreciated. One aspect we can consider too is that the evaluation doesn't have to be done by TC members. So, we could recruit folks from the different organizations we are part of to be able to swarm on the count. So an idea that was brought up before is that all modules are not the same, and there's some higher priority modules than others. So if we focus on the higher priority modules, and then we are able to, get our 10 a year, but then also be able to recruit other technical folks in the community to review some others, that we can get good coverage, sooner rather than later. So that is something I would like to put out there as well. So Maccabee said 11, Jen said 10, Ingolf said 1 every 3 weeks, which would be, close to, let's just say, 10, and then I'm pushing for, let's just say, 5. Are there any other opinions whether we should do 10 or 5? Besides the folks who mentioned those numbers. So that's, Shelley, Julian, Jeff, maybe Todd, what do you think between those two numbers? Yes, Shelley.
10.
10. 10 it is. And Julian.
I think we can simply make evaluation, and if it's completed, then we start with the next module.
Got it. And then Jeff says he likes the vague 5 to 10. Shelley.
Sorry, I just had a question. What you were saying about recruiting other folks, I was wondering, would that mean, I guess the logistics of that, would they be added to the repo organization so that they could push their own commits, or like, I don't know, there would have to be some thought through about how that would work.
I think generating a full report can be done outside of the repo, and once that is good, any TC member can put it in, or we can give them access to do that. So I, you know, mo most of the work would be in generating the report itself. So that's what I think. But I. We're not super protective of that repo. If they're members in the community, they on a recurring basis, they're able to do evaluations. Those people are good future TC members. And it would be I wouldn't be against adding such people to the repo too. So, yes, Wayne.
Well, I mean, it probably would if we I mean, I think this is a good idea to consider recruiting other people to help with evaluations. We should probably, as Shelley said, sort of come up with a little bit of a logistical handbook on how to do it though. So yes, we could just add people willy-nilly to the repo, or we could ask people to fork and make a PR. That would be merged by TC members. That's probably a little more a little better audit trail, a little more control. But I mean, whatever we decide to do, we should document it so that it's not, we're, so that, people aren't just reinventing the wheel all the time.
That makes sense. I agree. Maccabee.
Just to add, we have a little bit of a conflict of interest policy already in the review guidelines, that basically just says, if you develop the module, don't review it if you're on that team. I forget the details, but I think that would we'd have to look at the language again, but that would certainly support the goal of what you all are saying. I'm agnostic. I mean, I threw out the number 10 as a starting point, but since my term is expiring in a couple of months, I don't think I should be a very strong voice into what that number should be.
You should declare 30 and then run away.
Love it.
Okay. Todd said he likes Julian's idea of having a queue of reviews, and then 5 to 10 a year. Yes to a queue, and then I guess I would want us to say, okay, there is a queue and here's the goal we're shooting for, so that it's not like, okay, here's a queue and we only did two that year, so let's not push it. Shelly was vocal about 10. So I think for this question, let's say we will have a queue for module reviews, probably prioritized, and we will shoot for 10, and we should consider getting other community folks to help with that queue. So, even if we say 10 in a year, we can do more, and certainly we can do less too, depending on the logistics of what the realities on the ground at the time. Does anyone disagree with that outcome for the question of how many modules per year? Give me a thumbs up if you agree. Thank you. Okay. The next question is, should core or high impact modules be prioritized first? I guess we kind of answered that with the previous one. So the answer to that is yes. Any disagreements there? So I imagine we want to say, let's go check inventory versus the notes module, first. But then again, if the notes module is small and somebody can check that off the box, that too would be good. Okay. So the next one is, what are the selection criteria for choosing the modules? So we've mentioned inventory or notes. Do we want to formalize that selection criteria? So Maccabee had a Google spreadsheet. And I believe when we were doing the pilots, we chose modules from a certain range, because this is sorted by when the repos were created, I guess, or the first commits. I forget which one. So do we want to formalize that, or are we okay with just declaring the queue and then working through that queue? Yes, MacBee.
So again, I don't think my voice should be particularly strong on this, but if we said in the previous question that we wanted to prioritize high priority modules, then I guess we would just need to identify the ones, like inventory and orders and whatever the other really high priority modules are, as opposed to those other criteria in terms of, date, because those are not necessarily the same thing. I don't think it matters all that much. I think there's an argument for low hanging fruit as well. Some of these things that are going to be very easy to evaluate, even if they're lower priority, may be worth doing also. I'm kind of agnostic about the order of it.
Thank you for that perspective, Jen.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm agnostic too, just because it seems like there's a lot of ways you could order it. Because while it might make sense to do inventory because it's so important, inventory also gets a ton of attention. So it might be better to do something that's kind of old and neglected, but is still just getting shipped out every release. That's it.
Shelley?
An idea I have is we could look at the modules that are part of App Platform Minimal and select from there. I know you joked about mod notes, but it's actually part of App Platform Minimal, and it kind of is core because everything else uses mod notes, or a lot of things use mod notes. So like trying to figure out core modules, we could maybe look at the application descriptors. And for like App Platform Minimal, there's new ones in there, like all the Keycloak ones, so that I'm assuming that we wouldn't need to look at those, but like some of them that are in there, and then in like App Platform Complete. Yeah, that's my thought.
Thank you, Shelley. So we have two that are agnostic. We have one for walking through the applications that we are defining in Folio. Okay. Any other thoughts? Okay. So let's say for the criteria, we go application by application, and we start with the platform minimal, and then maybe go into the inventory app, and then maybe orders, maybe then ERM, something like that. Any disagreement with that approach? All right, I see a thumbs up. Good. I heard a voice. Someone say something? Okay, we are getting close to time, but I think these questions are important to dig into. So how do we ensure the process adds concrete value and is not just an academic exercise? There was one of our feedback discussions was, are we just checking these modules just cause, or would it bring some value? I think knowing about security items is good. I think knowing about the privacy issues are good. I think knowing that a module has 30% test coverage because of how long it's been, is good. I think having awareness of those line items and being able to elevate certain initiatives across the community, all of that, they're all good things that this process would bring. Any thoughts on this question? Yes, MacBee.
I certainly agree with everything you just said in terms of sort of demonstrating it. There might be some metrics we can communicate in terms of, how many existing modules we reviewed, over the last year, or some other. I don't, I don't know exactly what the communication is, and that's, I see the third bullet point here, but the point is, some sort of regular, accountability about it, demonstrating that, here are some examples of how some of the module owners have addressed some of the things that we found, emphasizing the positive.
Thank you, Matthew. Certainly, maybe highlighting the number of modules we've reviewed, highlighting maybe security issues, or just highlighting the things that we found by just looking back. at these modules, those kind of metrics would be good. I'm not sure of the appropriate forum to highlight those things. There's been some discussion about a folio, newsletter. Maybe it's weird going to all the channels and, saying, "Hey, the TC did this." Maybe it's not. But I think for us as a council, having those success metrics would be good overall. We have a few. How are we doing on time? 10. We have 9 minutes left. Okay. Any other thoughts on this? And I'll be able to go through the recordings to be able to extract action items that we've discussed here. So, if you have any ideas on how we can show the value that this process brings, please speak up. And of course, there will be more opportunities to do that in the future. So the next question, should the process include documenting where existing modules currently fail as a baseline record? And should value be judged by how teams act on those findings? I remember there was a communication thing about not using the word fail because we are, we want to bring awareness. So that is a language that can change. To me, I think documenting where the module didn't meet the criteria is a require is a requirement basically for this process. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to judge how things have improved over time. Any thoughts there? I see thumbs up, so we will document, where the module needs improvement, as Shelley says. Okay. So how should the scope, pace, and timeline be communicated to the community, including how far in advance teams know their module is coming up for review? We've talked about a queue, so it's possible that, teams can see where the their module is in that queue. We can operate on that queue. Where or how should we communicate to the community about these things if we were to put it in place? Yes, Shelley.
I mean, I guess communicate in the appropriate Slack channels to reference a wiki page in our technical council space, maybe. Maybe the wiki page is like a table of the modules, and I don't know. Yeah, that's as far as I got on that idea.
Thank you, Shelley. I think what I heard was a page, the modules are listed, and maybe a link to the report or its status, as it matches the criteria, something like that. Okay. If we're done with a module evaluation, would we post in their public channel of the team? Would we contact the PO? How do you guys imagine after the review is done? Do we, send a blast to the community to say, "Hey, mod inventory needs improvements"? Wayne, go ahead. You had your hands up.
Well, I mean, a couple of things. One is I don't recall, do we have are we making JIRA issues for all of these?
We
Yes.
Did someone say something?
Yes, is this, I don't know if it's JIRA or TCR. Isn't that a JIRA issue?
TCR is a JIRA project, right?
Yes,
Yes.
it's a Jira product. So we the pilot that we did, we created Jiras for the two that we did. So for us just to be able to track that process, we would just
But that's
create.
also it's also a communication tool, I guess is what I'm saying.
You're saying, yes, that I agree. My thinking is that not a lot of people go into that project to see what's going on. So the information is definitely there.
The other thing I was going to say was that it feels to me like while it might be valuable to the community to make them aware that we have this queue and to point teams to that so that they can anticipate what's coming and maybe even make JIRA issues in anticipation of that.
Yes.
Undertaking a review would be, I would think it would be courteous and collegial to work directly with the PO to say, hey, this thing is next on our list, or this thing is third down on our list. And, so you should know it's coming, and what can we do to help make this not be a huge burden on your team? Is there anything we can do with scheduling to make it easier for you if we have any flexibility, et cetera, that kind of stuff.
All good points, Wayne. Yes, Ingolf.
Yeah, I completely agree. The PO must be notified in advance. I remember I have done in the evaluation, and it was like they were surprised why we do this, why we do this now, and I think they didn't have resources. Or personal resources. The developers were busy. So, yes, the PO has to be informed in advance. You will inform him anyway, but you sh not. It shouldn't be only when the evaluation has started. It should be, I say again, 3 weeks before. And then,
So a learning from the pilot was that even though we're trying to make this process to be light for the team, so we don't require a self evaluation, blah blah blah, that there's still work involved with the dev teams to answer questions,
Yes.
especially for modules that are older, so they probably have to go read the code maybe to answer some things. If a team were presented a PII form, hey, is this thing is an item disclosed, is that accurate? They would have to go through the code and find out. So I guess the thought I'm having is it possible for us to do a module evaluation and not involve the teams? But that means we or the evaluator has to take the burden of learning that module and finding where things are. So it makes sense that the POs would be involved early, since there is some amount of work still on the table for the teams there.
It
Ingolf.
depends. I mean, I also remember for the new modules, we had the policy that the dev team has to make changes. They want to have it approved, otherwise it doesn't get in the distribution, the release in the first place. But I'm not sure for the old models. I think it was just informal, wasn't it? They didn't have to make any changes. And if that is so, then it's not so critical to inform them right
Well,
away.
the I guess the evaluator asking questions was work too as well. So we don't require
Yes,
changes
okay.
from them, but it seems the POs were wondering what the developers were spending time on, that was not planned for them, but was a significant enough time sink for them. So I think we should still inform the work for the teams is much less than a new module evaluation, but I agree with the sentiments here that we should inform them. Okay, we are at time. Thank you for all of your thoughts. I'm going to kind of put a lot of the things that we've discussed, put it into a coherent process document, and then we can review that in the future if that looks right based on our collective input on all of these ideas. So I appreciate all the productive discussion here. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.